Federal Politics with Dennis Shanahan.
On Radio 2UE.
There he is. G'day, Dennis.
G'day, fellas.
Good morning, Dennis.
We mentioned earlier, Dennis, that this week where Tony Abbott was facing his test, now we've got the blowtorch well and truly on Bill Shorten. And I guess the first question we should ask you, you know, with the Royal Commission and all things happening and his popularity in the polls, will he make it to the election? The reason we ask you, we are getting emails from listeners who are on the Liberal side of politics begging people to go easy on Bill because they don't want to lose him.
Yeah, look, I think there's a bit of that from the Liberal side. My view is that he will get through to the election as the leader of the Labor Party, and that he will face Tony Abbott. I think the reason for that is not because people aren't unhappy about him. They certainly are, and they're concerned about his strategic direction, his style, and also they are concerned about his, you know, what's happening on at the Royal Commission. But one thing that is saving Bill Shorten, or there are two things. The first thing is there's no appetite within the Labor Party to change the leader. As we've seen over the ABC, reliving all of the scars and so on of the Rudd and Gillard years, there is just no one in the Labor Party who thinks that they should be looking at changing leader. As one Labor person said to me yesterday, look, we're just not talking about it. Yeah. We just don't talk about it. It's not considered.
This program on the ABC, which I've been videoing, but I just don't have the stomach to watch it. I just don't want to even hear their voices anymore. But do you think, and it's been hugely successful, a lot of people have watched it, do you think that has harmed Bill Shorten?
Oh, look, it is, because that's another one of the things. I mean, he's had a storm of stuff come towards him the last couple of weeks, and it is clear, and the Prime Minister is able to use this against him in question time and so on, that he is being accused of being disloyal and duplicitous, and that he's helped bring down two prime ministers. So it is a clear, you know, sign that the things weren't right in the Labor Party, that he was part of the removal of the leaders, and it just accentuates this idea of you know, ructions within the Labor Party.
Now, I watch Question Time a lot on the TVs early in the week, preferably, because I have a bit of time off. I thought that Tony Burke's performance on Monday was as good as I've ever seen. When he had a bit of ammo, in that the Liberals had allegedly given the boat smugglers big piles of $100 American notes, and he dished it out to Tony Abbott and the rest of them like I have never seen it dished out before. And he was absolutely magnificent, and they just sat there and copped it and copped it. But then, of course, the next day, when the revelation came out that Labor in the dark old days apparently had given the people, smugglers, some money as well, there was not a squeak out of them. But surely there must be some award for his performance on the Monday, Dennis.
Particularly given that as a former immigration minister, he probably had a little bit of an idea of what
absolutely,
was going on.
Absolutely, correct.
What could they have been thinking on the first day when they were going totally rabid in the Parliament, then the next day it was dead silent?
Well, Bill Shorten had a press conference on the Tuesday where he was confronted with these questions, and it has been disclosed that during the Rudd years there was $21 million put aside for... And look, it was put aside for disruption. So this includes paying informers, paying people to give them information to stop a boat leaving and so forth. But essentially it's the same. Bill Shorten tried to make the difference that this payment had been made on the water and theirs was made on the land.
I heard some radio commentator seriously putting forth the idea that the Navy ship may have had one of those multi-currency ATM machines on board. Fair dinkum,
really?
I heard it and nearly drove off the road.
I
couldn't believe it. And we are hearing this morning too, Dennis, that, and it's in the newspapers today, that the Indonesian police were paid off as well. But I don't think that's going to shock too many people if you say the Indonesian police take bribes.
Well, this is part of the problem, and this is where Julie Bishop was responding last week about Indonesia. Everyone knows that there is endemic corruption in Indonesia. The Indonesians were trying to do something about it. They are trying to cooperate with Australia on people smugglers. They're certainly cooperating better than ever before on anti-terror activities with Australia. But it is a problem, particularly at the low level, and it is clear that this goes on.
Well, the impression that I got, Dennis, just talking to people and listening to do talkback radio, as I do, and the television, etc., no one seemed to care all that much because 30 grand was a nick. It was an absolute,
it was a good deal.
It was an absolute bargain compared with the millions that they would have cost if the 60-odd illegal immigrants had have got into Australia anyway.
This is part of the rest of the political problem for Bill Shorten, is that while Labor was complaining about the payment of money and some of the media getting terribly worked up, the population is just saying, yeah, good, stop the boats. And that was the message. Mm. After 2 days of parliamentary debate and media coverage of this issue, and by the way, we should make clear here, it was not the Navy or Navy personnel or a Navy
ship. No, it was ISIS. Yeah.
It was the spy organisation that handles the money, and they handed over the money off the Australian ship. So any suggestion of ATMs and so on.
Dennis, from a strategy point of view, and you're pointing that out, this has really badly backfired on Labor because it gave the government the opportunity once again to remind the public that we stopped the boats, we stopped the boats, we stopped the boats and so on. However, and I think that's quite correct, however, what it did do, it lifted the lid on a can of worms underneath that both sides of politics, Labor and Liberal, they do use money to pay off informers. Now, we all know that. We watch television all the time. We know that in drug deals that there are police informers who get paid off. And a grown-up person would understand that this is what has to be done. But I don't think the public particularly like to see it displayed openly.
No, it's like, discovering where a sausage comes from.
Yes, exactly.
You don't want to see the workings of it. And people prefer not to think that underhand things go on, but they do. The point that the Attorney General made was that Australia always observes the law. This is the point, part of the point that the Labor was trying to make, was suggesting, if it was in Australian waters, maybe it was a breach of Australian law. Mm. But given that both sides do it and do it under different circumstances, the same circumstances.
Yeah.
It's just something that people prefer not to know about. But in the end, as you say, the political message out of this week was that, the coalition stopped the boats.
All right. Mm. Now, there's another issue that that people got worked up in the media about, Joe Hockey and the living away from home allowance in Canberra, paying rent to his wife who owned the house that he was staying in. And you would think that Joe Hockey was the only person doing that. It was revealed this week in the Financial Review that there are 41 members of Parliament, 41 Liberal, National, Labor and Greens, who have residential investment properties in Canberra, and that includes their wives. So Joe Hockey is not the only one by a long shot.
No, that's right. And look, politicians have been doing this for years.
If they stopped it, the Canberra housing market would collapse.
That's true. The other thing is, I remember stories about Paul Keating and Paul Keating as treasurer, not living in his electorate and living in Canberra. Look, for politicians who are here a lot, it is impossible for them not to have some sort of permanent residential arrangement. Obviously, if they're coming down here all the time, they turn it into an investment as part of their, retirement fund. And look, so many of them do it.